Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In part four of their Building a Private Cloud with System Center 2012 SP1, Keith Mayer and Young Cho show us how to configure the storage fabric in Virtual Machine Manager. Tune in as they walk us through the process of adding different types of storage into our fabric, such as file server storage and block storage. Keith, the mic is yours.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to episode four in our Building Your Private Cloud series with System Center 2012, Service Pack 1. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft, and back with me again, I have my good friend Young. Hi, Young. How are you today?
Hi, Keith. Hello, everyone. This is Young Cho from the great state of North Carolina, saying hello to everybody.
Well, Young, in our episode so far, we've been making a lot of progress towards building out our private cloud with System Center 2012, with a lot of focus up till now on building out our foundation using Windows Server 2012 and Hyper-V and some of the new advantages in our continuously available file shares for exposing very cost-effective storage solutions. And then in our last episode, we stepped through the process of installing the System Center Virtual Machine Manager, management server and console, and talked about some of the basic components along the way. But to kind of give everybody that roadmap of where we've been so far, why don't we start off just with a quick review on what is a private cloud and kind of where we've been focusing. So, Young, I know, over the last few episodes, we've been talking about this concept of a private cloud, of going beyond a heavily virtualized data center environment into an environment that's much more manageable and agile and much more mapped to business requirements so that IT pros can build their environment, configure their infrastructure, set up a set of rules and policies and templates, whether those templates are simple VM templates or more complicated application service templates, and then let the environment be exposed through self-provisioning to authorized users, department leads, or whatnot in the environment. As we've stepped through the process so far, Young, have you had any questions or anything that has come up from your side when you're talking with IT pros about thinking about what the difference is between a private cloud versus virtualization?
Right, and this is a fundamental question that many people have in mind, and again, Keith, like in this series, every time you started by clarifying what is private cloud, right, and versus virtualization to begin with, because it's such a fundamental concept, right? And then again, I back to my argument that I mentioned previously. If you cannot define it, how can you give an opinion and saying, this is what you should or should not do? You really need to have a crystal clear concept in terms of how you can clearly define what is, and sometimes perhaps more importantly, what is not private cloud, right? Yeah. And so in this post-virtualization era, we need to have a clear understanding because the whole industry is moving into cloud computing. So knowing what is private cloud is really essential. So once you have a clear understanding of that, then you can further get into the details in terms of the specific operation and processes, right? And also, I don't know if our audiences have noticed a theme here. Like every time, Keith, like when you talk about what is private cloud, you show out this slide. This is really about the business. It's really more about the application, the service you try to deliver. It's not so much about, those underlying infrastructure, right? The focus has always been how we can deliver the process, how we can shorten the go-to-market, right? And then, yes, indeed, under the hood, there's an implementation. But the focus has always been really very close to the object. And that's one takeaway that we must have is, this is about delivering these services to our customer, and this is not about just purely technology and put in some fancy stuff and have some geeky terms there, right?
That's right.
Kind of stay on the focus.
No, that's right, definitely. And so what we've been doing along the lines, if we look at the bottom of our slide here, is we've been kind of starting off in the rightmost corner of our slide by looking at the infrastructure that we have today and how we can use that as the foundation for laying the framework of beginning to build a private cloud. And then we're moving over now into this tools area where we're using components out of the System Center 2012 suite, like System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager Service Pack 1, to start taking that disparate infrastructure and start combining it together into a more manageable fabric upon which we can deploy applications. But once we get past that, definitely process and business requirements are next in our series to talk about how we can build out processes for deploying new services, for monitoring the health of existing services, and ultimately meet those business requirements in a cloud-centric manner. So as we've been going along over the last couple episodes, we, in episode 2, looked at building out our private cloud foundation, and we focused a lot on Server 2012 and Hyper-V and some of the new features in Server 2012 around file storage, like our continuously available file shares that we had for exposing very inexpensive SaaS storage out to potentially a larger growing number of Hyper-V hosts that are providing high availability and virtualizing a set of workloads out to our clients. And then in our last episode together, in episode 3, we had gone through the process of beginning to enable our private cloud vision with some of that tooling we were talking about, in this case around System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Virtual Machine Manager. So we went through the steps of deploying our management server, and in doing so, connected it up to our database server, where our database of all of our private cloud objects that are associated with our foundation are stored. We also built out an initial library server for housing our templates and hard disks and ISO images and scripts and whatnot that we're going to be deploying out to our private cloud. And then we connected into a WES and WSUS server for deploying and keeping up to date our cloud fabric. Over the next 3 episodes, what we're going to be talking about is kind of this bottom area here, how we get that connected into Virtual Machine Manager so that we can start leveraging that as part of our private cloud fabric as well. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about storage, how we bring our storage in. And then in episode 5, we'll be looking at network devices. And in episode 6, bringing in our compute hosts, our Hyper-V hosts, or potentially non-Hyper-V hosts, because System Center 2012 VMM also supports VMware, ESX, and vCenter hosts, as well as Citrix Zen Server hosts as well. And with Service Pack 1, we're supporting the latest shipping versions of each of those products to allow you to take your existing compute investment on virtualization hosts and be able to leverage it in building together a cohesive private cloud framework. Well, let's talk about this storage piece in a little more detail. When we think about storage, I don't know about you, Young, it's been a real, oftentimes when I talk to IT pros, they see storage in many cases as kind of this black hole within their virtualization and private cloud environment today. Oftentimes in larger environments, a completely separate team of IT pros are managing storage. And in many cases, the storage may be spread across a variety of different storage solutions. They may have iSCSI, they may have Fibre Channel. Perhaps they're leveraging some of our new investments in Windows Server 2012 as well from a SMB storage standpoint, using less expensive SAS JBOD disk enclosures, for instance. But it becomes kind of a very confusing area, and an area where IT pros that I've talked to oftentimes feel that they don't have the ability to understand and leverage the storage in their environment to the fullest extent as part of their private cloud. Young, do you find similar confusion or questions coming back from IT pros in terms of storage as well?
Absolutely. If you're looking back, like what IT pro has been doing, a lot of us, we have done a lot on the server computing. We have done probably some or part of the networking piece that we kind of have to do it on a daily basis. But the storage piece has always been like a big mystery, right? Because we're talking about the storage virtualization. We're talking about those very expensive type of solution that used to be like a multi-year contract and with 2,000 hours of consulting services coming with it, right?
Right,
so it is a very specialized area. it is, like you said, like a black box there, and you know, so it is in some way, it's a very intimidating for many IT professionals. And I think the good news is, first, they're watching this show, which means, well, they're looking up, you know, to get some insight from here. Secondly, is for if you look at these Windows Server 2012, right, the storage virtualization, we talked about the storage space, that's a key delivery, right? That really leveled the field in some way that some of the solution that previously it's an arm and a leg in order to get it, but now perhaps not apple to apple, like get the same type of reliability and performance, very close. Or if your application, you know, can accept, like, you know, maybe not, instead of a 90.999, you can accept a 99.9. You know, the software solution that provided by System Server 2012 in terms of all the storage space, the storage virtualization, that may be something that's very appealing and very attractive, right? So that's the good news. Now, at the same time, it also says you and I and all the IT professional, in some way, we also become a storage engineer in some way. So that's a challenge. It's also a very exciting opportunity for us to grow our career and really move to the next level to do really something, you know, that's exciting, which is the cloud computing.
Yep. No, definitely. And the most challenging area that I've had IT pros express concern about managing storage to me is when they're provisioning new hosts in their environment, or when they're provisioning new virtual machines, because those are really the times where they need to be intimately familiar with storage for provisioning new storage pools and LUNs and whatnot. And, you know, today, even if they are involved in storage management in their environment, they probably have four or five different tools that they use for managing storage from different vendors or whatnot. So really, in Service Pack 1 of Virtual Machine Manager, there's been a tremendous effort around trying to simplify and streamline the storage experience for configuring new storage for private cloud administrators. And in doing so, System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 now understands a little bit more about storage and how to communicate with it in a very intelligent manner for helping to automate provisioning tasks related to storage. Certainly Service Pack 1 has the ability to talk to the SMB solution that we looked at in our previous episodes, using Server 2012 file servers that are sharing out cost-effective SAS storage. But it also understands how to interface with industry standard Fiber Channel and iSCSI storage arrays that support one of two different management interfaces, either the industry standard SMIS interface, the Storage Management Initiative's storage provider interface. In fact, there's well over 800 to 900 plus independent storage arrays that are being storage array models that are manufactured that support the SMIS specification. So allowing SP1 to support that gives it the ability to communicate intelligently with a lot of those third-party storage arrays. And then if a storage vendor doesn't currently have an SMIS provider built into their hardware, Microsoft also provides a storage management provider interface, an API that storage management providers can write to, the SMP provider that System Center 2012 SP1 also understands. Once we've gotten to the point of having our virtual machine manager server and console up and running then, which we did in our last episode, in episode 3, the next step of starting to connect in our storage fabric and beginning to assign storage to the hosts in our private cloud environment is actually pretty straightforward. We can do all of that within the VMM console. So as we're provisioning new storage, we don't have to go through four or five different tools and utilities in order to provision storage. And we've got a slightly different path that we go through based on the type of storage it is. If we have file server storage, storage that's being presented by Windows Server 2012 file server hosts or file server clusters using the new SMB 3.0 protocol version. We go through the process of adding that storage in. We can use VMM to provision new file shares. And then we go to our hosts or our clusters within VMM in order to add that additional storage as storage that our hosts or clusters can use for provisioning new virtual machines. If we're using block storage, then there's a little bit more involved. So block storage in this case could be iSCSI storage or fiber channel storage, or it could be the case where our Hyper-V hosts are directly connected to SAS, JBOD storage enclosures. So in those cases, if there's an intelligent hardware agent that's on the block level storage, which you find a lot with iSCSI and fiber channel storage products, we'd want to make sure first that we're physically connected and zoned into that storage. In other words, that all of the hosts can see the storage across their storage network. So we have all the hosts configured with iSCSI connectivity or fiber channel connectivity or SAS connectivity initially, and they physically have a path to the storage. And then once we've got that physical path set up, we would add in the storage array device of whatever type it is. We would go through the process of configuring the storage array settings to tell System Center VMM how it should be leveraging that storage array for provisioning new storage for storing virtual machines. We can create and assign storage classifications so that we can classify. If we have iSCSI and Fiber Channel and SAS storage in our environment, we can classify that as maybe a gold, silver, and bronze level of storage. And then as we provision VMs that have different storage requirements, we can match those VM templates or service templates out to the particular storage that they may need based on what their disk requirements are. We also then would then allocate the storage capacity to our hosts or clusters. And once we've done that, we can manage right from our hosts or clusters inside the VMM console the ability to add new storage arrays, the ability to add new disks into those hosts. So we can do all of these steps all within Virtual Machine Manager. Young, would you like to see how we step through that process?
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, great. Well, let me just switch over to my demo environment and we'll go through it together. Well, Young, here we are in our storage environment. This is the same in our VMM environment. This is the same environment that we installed together in episode 3 when we set up our VMM management server. And when we're thinking about storage, storage is definitely part of the fabric, the underlying fabric of our private cloud. So when we're in the Virtual Machine Manager console, we want to make sure that for bringing in and managing our storage, we click on the fabric application workspace bar. So if I go ahead and click on Fabric, then up in the top left navigation area of that workspace, we'll see servers, networking, and storage. And as I expand out storage, we'll see the various areas that we were just talking about in our slide together. So being able to bring in arrays of storage or file servers that are using SMB3.0, being able to classify that storage, and then up on the button bar, we've got the ability to interact with those storage resources. So when we're starting off new in a VMM environment, the first thing we have to do is tell VMM about the storage that we want to use for our private cloud environment. And we do that up on the button bar by going into Add Resources. And under Add Resources, when we go down the drop-down menu, we would select Storage Devices. So we'd select Storage Devices even if we're adding in file servers, which you may not typically think of as a device, but in terms of VMM, it considers them just another type of storage device on the network. When we select Add Storage Devices, the Add Storage Devices wizard launches, and the first thing it asks us for is to select a storage provider type. So this gives us three radio button options, and if we're adding in a new Windows-based file server or file server cluster as a managed storage device, similar to our configuration that we had for the file server cluster in our scale-out configuration, well, we would leave the first radio button selected and add a Windows-based file server as a managed storage device. On the other hand, if we're adding in a block-level device, an iSCSI or fiber channel device, for instance, or a SAS array that has a management interface on it, we would instead use one of the other two checkbox options, depending on the storage management provider interface that our storage device manufacturer is supporting. So you'll need to talk to your storage manufacturer to determine if the particular storage devices you're using are compatible with the SMIS provider interface, or if they've provided an SMP provider, a storage management provider, for use with System Center 2012 VMM. So let's add one of each. Let's add a file server in, and let's add a block storage provider in as well, so we can step through that process. So I'm going to first add in our Windows-based file server cluster. So I'll click my first radio button option, click the next button, and then on the specify discovery scope page of the wizard, I'm going to specify the name, the fully qualified name, of my file server cluster. And I'll go out and browse out and select my run as account, so in this case my domain admin account, that has access to administer that file server cluster. Once I've selected that, I'll go ahead and click the next button, and it'll walk through the process of connecting to that file server cluster and discovering all of the storage that the file server cluster is currently supplying. So that storage on a file server cluster would typically be exposed as a set of file shares. And what the next screen does then is, on select storage devices on that page, is it gives us the ability to specify which of these file shares we would like to place under VMM management, under management by virtual machine manager. And we have that flexibility because it could be that this file server cluster is actually sharing other shared folders out that aren't used for virtual machine storage. So it might be a mixed scenario where we have a consolidated file server cluster as a scale-out cluster, and maybe we've got some shares that are sharing out VM storage, some shares that are sharing out shared folders for SQL database storage, and some shares that are sharing out typical document-oriented storage, for instance. So we'll go ahead and select the storage, the shared folders that we'd like VMM to manage, click the next button, and then click finish, and it'll go ahead at that point and bring that file server in into our storage file server node. So we'll see that we've got the file server brought in. Here's all the shared folders, and then over in the managed column, you'll see the folders that we selected, the file shares that we selected as file shares for VMM to use. Now, once we've brought in these file shares, it, in terms of being able to present those out to various hosts or clusters of hosts, it's actually pretty easy. We would just browse out at this point over in our Fabric navigation pane to our servers, and then navigate down to either the specific hosts or the clusters of hosts that we wish to make this file share available to. So if I right-click on one of my hosts, one of my virtualization hosts, drop into Properties on the right-click menu, under Storage, you'll see that Storage has a File Shares area where if we click on Add, we can add in a new file share. We can pick one of the file shares that we previously had selected as a VMM managed file share, and then click the OK button to add that in to that particular server. So now that we've got that file share added in, it becomes a path that VMs or application services can leverage as they're deployed to that Hyper-V host. So you can see, if we're taking advantage of that new file sharing feature with SMB3.0 to consolidate and simplify our storage environment, we have a really simple interface for being able to assign new clustered file shares to hosts for VM storage. Does that make sense as we were walking through it, Young? Any questions from your side?
I think it's important for people to understand that what you're trying to do, adding storage, that you are actually building part of the fabric, right? And then perhaps people will recognize that this doesn't have to be due in particular sequence, but you just at some point in time you need to kind of add these resources into it. And you show, you know, the files based and also block based. It really, the takeaway is, you know, now we support so many different kind of storage devices or storage solutions, if you will. And it is for IT pro to think about when you started building your private cloud, look at what you have now and set up some strategy in terms of how you want to build this storage solution and bring it into the VMM. And as we go through these processes and operations, this is where they need to pay attention to bring their storage virtualization solution into the fabric into the VMM's world.
Yep, no, definitely, definitely. So we've looked at the process of being able to leverage the new SMB 3.0 shared folder capability. Well, let's look at block storage, because as you mentioned, in most enterprise environments, there's a variety of different storage that's out there, and a lot of environments already have iSCSI or fiber channel storage that's already being used. So let's take a look at how we bring that into our storage fabric. So I'm going to go back in our left navigation pane for our fabric. We're still in the fabric area. I'm going to go back to storage, and now we're going to go back to our ribbon bar, click on the Add Resources button on our ribbon bar, go back to Storage Devices, and now we're going to step through the process of adding a block-level storage device that's managed by an SMIS provider, or same, very similar process if we had storage devices that were managed by SMP providers. They're just a couple different protocols for talking to agents on storage devices. So we'll select SMIS, click Next. And then for SMIS, we need to specify the particular protocol that's being used. So either SMIS with the WMI protocol, the Windows Management Instrumentation protocol, or SMIS with the SIM-XML protocol. So these are basically specifying two different formats for data exchange and command exchange between VMM and your storage provider. When you're talking to your storage provider, if they support SMIS, you'll want to ask them which of the SMIS specifications they support, and then select that appropriate specification. So in my case, I have a storage array that uses WMI. I'm going to go ahead and select that as my protocol. I'll either key in or select the fully qualified domain name of my storage. And then again, I'd browse out, select my run as account that has permission to authenticate to that storage array. Go ahead and click Next, and it'll scan that storage array and identify all of the storage pools that are defined as iSCSI block storage. You can see there's a couple storage pools it identified on this particular storage array. So I'll go ahead and click Next. And then what we do is we go through the process of selecting the particular storage pools. And at this point, that we'd like VMM to manage, and at this point, we can classify them right here on the screen. So if we had already set up classifications under our classifications and pools area, we can just pick one of the existing classifications. Or if we don't have any classifications set up yet, we can create a new classification, give it a name, and then tag that on our particular storage just by selecting it from the pull down like we have here. So in this case, we've got two storage pools. And I've classified one of them because it has higher performance as the gold storage pool, and the other one because it has slower performance as the silver storage pool. So this is a pretty common approach when you're dealing with block-level storage. If your block-level storage has different storage pools combining perhaps SSD, very fast SSD drives into one storage pool, maybe some enterprise SAS drives into a second storage pool, and maybe some nearline SAS drives for capacity into a third storage pool, you may bring those storage pools into VMM, but then classify them based on their disk performance or capacity needs in a way that makes sense for your applications. That way down the road, if we have many different storage arrays that we're bringing into VMM, we can apply consistent classifications across the board to each of them. And when we're provisioning new application services, instead of having to worry about provisioning them on a specific storage array, we can instead request that those applications be provisioned with a certain classification of storage. VMM will then look for hosts or clusters of hosts that are associated with our private cloud that have that classification of storage assigned to them and have available capacity. So I'm just going to leave my storage classifications the way they are, click Next, click Finish, and when I do that, it'll bring in my storage arrays under my array area. So you can see here's my storage array, and it's got three total pools. I had selected two that were managed pools. When I right-click on my storage array and go into Properties, I've got an additional setting that I can select on my storage array that tells it how to use this storage array for the new rapid provisioning capabilities. So if you have storage arrays that support technologies like snapshots or cloning or ODX support, you can actually have Virtual Machine Manager use rapid provisioning to deploy new virtual machines from virtual machine templates, from virtual machine hard disks that are associated with templates. And depending on the capabilities of your storage array, you can either use snapshotting or cloning in order to do that. Snapshotting is generally the most common approach because it's very fast and has very little incremental storage cost associated with it. But if your storage array supports cloning, we can leverage that as well by selecting the clone logical units radio button option. So we want to make sure that we're setting our storage array settings appropriately before we start provisioning any new virtual machines using rapid provisioning on our storage array. And then the storage pools tab here just gives us a summarized view where we can go in and if we want to change our classification or select additional storage pools after we had already added the same storage array in, we can do that as well. So that's where we go to manage any previously added storage pools. So we've gone through the process of adding in our storage array device, configuring the storage array settings, and classifying it. If we drop over to classifications and pools now, we'll see that we've got three different classifications that I had previously created. We've got bronze, gold, and silver. And based on the array that we brought in, when we classified those two storage pools, we divided them between the silver and gold storage pools. So classifications gives us the classifications and pools node in our fabric navigation panel gives us a quick summarized view of what storage pools are there. And if we expand out those storage pools, we can even drop down to the individual LUNs that are presented by those storage pools so that we have a sense as to how those pools are currently being used and how much additional capacity is available in those pools. Well, now that we've gone through the process of setting up our storage arrays and selecting the storage pools that we want to use with VMM and assigning classifications, the next step is to allocate some storage capacity for our hosts and our clusters of hosts. And the way that we would do that is by using up in our ribbon bar the Allocate Capacity button. So we go ahead and click Allocate Capacity, and then we can select a particular host group that we'd like to allocate capacity to. And this is a very flexible definition of how we've laid out our host groups in our custom environment. When we, in episode 6, when we get into setting up our compute fabric, you'll see how we can create and organize host groups. We can allocate the storage pools that we've selected either to all hosts group, which provides access to all of our virtualization hosts, or to just a particular group of hosts. So if I select all hosts, we can allocate either entire storage pools and allow us to create additional LUNs on the unused capacity by clicking on the Allocate Storage Pools button. So if we had any unallocated storage pools up here, we could click on them, add them in. I had previously added in these two storage pools into the all hosts group. Or alternatively, if we already had LUNs, logical units, that were provisioned on our block storage that hadn't been allocated yet, weren't currently in use, we could allocate those logical units as well. Now you'll see in this case, all of the logical units are already in use. We don't have any that are not currently assigned to a particular host in our environment. So when we allocated the pools, it brought all those logical units along with them because it saw that they were already in use. So we've allocated our storage capacity. Now let's go ahead and use some storage. So if we were setting up a new Hyper-V host in our environment, we would add it into our fabric. And when we drill into the properties of one of those hosts, so I'm going to go over to my HVO8 host that's in my Western US host group. When I go into the properties of that host, you'll see under storage, under my storage node, that because I allocated that at least one storage pool to this host, to this host group that this host was part of, the array that is allocated to this host pops up. So here's the array that has those pools on it. And I can actually go through the process right from VMM of provisioning a new iSCSI LUN on this particular array, on one of those storage pools that I assigned. So I can click on Add Disk and click on the Create Logical Unit button. I can specify which of the available storage pools that I assigned to my host group I want to provision from. So maybe I'm looking for provisioning some storage for a set of VMs that don't need real high disk I/O throughput. So I'll provision that from my silver classification area. I'll give my new logical unit a name. So we'll say that this is HV08 VM capacity LUN 0. I could put in a description, capacity for VMs not requiring heavy disk I/O, and then a size. So let's make this into a 20 gig LUN. And one of the things that's cool about VMM, by the way, as you go through the process, is VMM is extensively built on top of PowerShell. So as we go through these various screens, I may not have pointed this out earlier, but if you click on View Script, it'll actually show you the PowerShell that it's going to run behind the scenes to enact this particular creation of a logical unit and assignment to this server. So I'll go ahead and click OK. Behind the scenes, it'll kick off a set of PowerShell code that'll go through the process of provisioning a new LUN, and it did it just that quickly, and assigning it to the server as a new volume. Now on this very same screen that I just used to create a new LUN in my SAN, I can partition that as an MBR or GPT partition, assign a volume label, say our data volume. I can specify my allocation unit size, and I can assign a drive letter for it. So I'll put this on the F drive, and then we'll go ahead and click OK, and it'll go through the process of formatting and mounting that new volume. The cool thing about this from end to end is that I touched several aspects of my storage environment that would have required in the past four or five different tools for me to go in and first connect up to my storage, to create a storage array, to assign it to certain classifications, to attach that storage array to various hosts within my environment, to create a LUN, and then format it as a volume. And in VMM, I could do that all within one console environment. Young, what do you think about that process? Was that pretty impressive from your standpoint?
Oh, you are very impressive. I'm speechless looking at you doing that. Just imagine that traditionally how many hoops you have to go through, or how many tools you have to get involved in, what kind of skill set that you must have established before you can do this kind of thing. And now, you know, the consistent user experience, the integration between, you know, virtual machine manager, server, and all the fabric concept, I think this is just a great story.
Absolutely. So we've just walked through the process of adding a few different types of storage into our storage fabric in System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager with Service Pack 1. And so, Young, we looked at the process of adding in file server storage that's sitting out on a Windows Server 2012 file server or file server cluster using our new SMB3O protocol. And we also looked at adding in block storage, just traditional iSCSI or fiber channel storage, or perhaps some inexpensive SAS storage into our System Center Virtual Machine Manager console so that we could use that console as our central point of interacting and optimizing the utilization of that storage across all of the hosts and clusters within our private cloud environment. So we stepped through the process of bringing in our storage arrays, of classifying their storage, setting some additional settings on those storage arrays, being able to allocate storage capacity, and then creating LUNs on the allocated storage capacity that we formatted as volumes and presented back to the server, all from within VMM. Young, what are you hearing from IT pros? Are you seeing a lot of, when you show these capabilities, do you see a lot of lights go off in terms of being able to save all kinds of time and energy in provisioning storage in the environment?
Well, first I have to say that Keith, I get this unspeakable pleasure by just watching over your shoulder, you know. I just feel great. In terms of the, you know, we talk about storage virtualization and the storage solution, that it's been a big mystery And for IT professional, it is an intimidating subject in some form or fashion. And with this virtual machine manager, yes, I mean, many session that I gave, when we come to this piece, it's sort of like everybody, wow, you know, now I have a hub that I can put everything together. And indeed, that is the whole concept, is the fabric, right? If you look at what you've been doing in the last 20 minutes also, you're bringing different storage virtualization solution into virtual machine manager such that it will become part of the fabric, right?
Yep,
and fabric
absolutely.
Is the key concept. Once you become part of the fabric, then all the cloud solution that we built above the fabric now can utilize, right? That then can take advantage of what these storage virtualization provide. Another important concept I hope our audience capture that is, when you provision those storage, right, they are more like we manage as a pool, right? So the storage pooling is an important concept because you look at how you configure those storage, it's until the last moment that you specify into a Hyper-V host.
Right.
You know, you still point to, you know, here is the LAN and here's the classification of it, as opposed to, you know, that particular drive or anything like that, right? So it yep. is in a very generic concept, give you that abstraction all the way, try to really shield away that technical or the physical complexity from our user, which boosts the productivity, right? So I think the important takeaway for us is we really need to spend some time focusing on virtual machine manager, right? And because half of the effort is really to building up the fabric, and storage certainly is a very important, very critical piece of it.
Yep. No, definitely. That's great feedback. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks everybody out there in TechNet Radio Land for joining us for another episode. If you'd like to step through the process of starting to get familiar with Windows Server 2012 and Virtual Machine Manager 2012 SP1 yourself, feel free to take advantage of our Cloud Lab step-by-step guides. If you browse out to aka.ms/cloudlab, you'll be able to step through a variety of lab exercises that include Windows Server 2012, System Center 2012, SharePoint 2013, SQL Server 2012, even Linux, to start getting exposed to it. And the best thing of all is it requires no hardware within your environment because you're leveraging this on top of our Windows Azure cloud-based platform. As you're stepping through those labs, if you should need any help or assistance, well, on a weekly basis, every Friday, we have an Early Experts Virtual Study Hall session from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can grab your lunch and join us online where you can step through the labs, and any questions that you have, we're live and available to help answer those questions for live expert assistance. So by all means, feel free to join us at aka.ms/virtual study halls. I look forward to joining all of you next time, where in episode 5, we'll be talking about configuring our network fabric with System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager Service Pack 1. Young, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I guess I see you guys all in next episode.
Great, and thanks everybody. Look forward to seeing you in episode 5 so we can talk about networking.